Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, he deserves it. He deserves the glory and the praise. Well, I am your speaker for this afternoon, and I don't want to take any more time. But if you can turn your Bibles to Hebrews 4, and we're going to read from verse 16 this afternoon. And I believe that God has a word for us. One thing I know is that when the Lord gives me something to minister on, that means he's speaking to me about something personally. But he don't just give it to the minister. Because how many know your leaders, our leaders, amen, they are there, our pastors are there to shepherd us, to direct us, to give us instructions that comes from God. Amen. And so this is the time when our hearts really need to be open and attentive to what God wants to say to you and I. Because he speaks to us personally, but he speaks to us differently. Because we're all, each and every one of us, are in different places and different stages of our walk. Amen. So I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. So it may differ just a little bit. Amen. If you just want to stand for the reading of God's word. And I'm reading from verse 16, and the Bible reads, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." I'm going to read that again. The word of God says, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." Father, we thank you, Lord God, this afternoon for your Son and for your Holy Spirit, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would just reign in this place, reign in our hearts. Arrest our minds today, Lord. Father, wherever our minds are, wherever we are wandering to, Father, we ask that you, our anchor, would draw us to yourself. Father, we want to hear from you today. So we ask you, Lord, that you would just take your rightful place amongst each and every one of us in this place today. Let every heart be open and every mind inclined to you today. Father, we take care to give you the praise and the glory for all that you have done up until this point in our lives, and all that you are going to do, that you are continuing to do in our lives. We give you the praise and we give you the glory. And all the saints of God say, amen. You may be seated this afternoon. Now, mercy is what we don't deserve, but God gives it to us anyway. Grace is what we don't deserve. Mercy is what we deserve, but God gives it to us. But grace is what we don't deserve, and God rewards us. You see, when the subject of grace came to me, it had me thinking and pondering about God's love and this precious gift he has given to us all, and how it has the power to keep us. It is keeping us, and without a doubt, it has the ability to move us into the next phase and the level of our walk in our Christ Jesus. Grace is a divine gift that has been freely given to us by God. It is the attitude of compassion, a special part of him that is reflected in his law and in the redemption of his people. God's grace speaks volumes in life challenges, revealing itself many times in affliction and adversity. He preserves us in life and aids us in our daily walk and in the forgiveness of others. The grace of God is infinite. It is limitless, gentle, subtle, but not taken for granted. It is defined as the unmerited, undeserving favor of God, a gift we don't deserve, but one that has been given to us anyway out of his love. The grace of God focuses on the provision of our salvation. It plays a key role in our progressing, in progressing you and I to the next level in our salvation in Christ. His grace serves you. It serves me. If you have any doubts in the sufficiency of it, you can doubt no more. The grace of God makes you and I winners. We can't lose when we have the grace of God. And each of us have the grace of God. It is sure. In Romans 8:2, the word says, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It is reliable and it perfects, perfect in its timing. Sometimes we think that God's timing is out because we're going by our own time. But how many know that God's ways is not our ways? His thoughts is not our ways, is not our thoughts. Amen. God does things in his time, but his time is perfect. He is never late. He is always on time, church. Always on time. So no matter what we face on a daily basis, on a weekly, monthly, yearly basis, whatever we're believing God for, whatever we're going through, whatever is taking place in our lives, whatever situation we may find ourselves in, God is in the midst and he is working things out, but he is doing it in his perfect time. When you look at the life of Joseph, Joseph faced so much serious challenge and in his life, but through it, he kept the faith. Joseph kept the faith and made good choices. Because how many know that when we're standing in the midst of our struggles and in our battles, no matter what's happening, we've got to be able to keep the faith, to trust that God is going to bring us through whatever it is that we are facing. And we don't just keep the faith, but we have to make good choices. Because how many know sometimes we can make choices and bad choices because we're not going by what the word of God is telling us. We're going by what we are feeling. And when we have things going on in our lives, it's so easy to go by how we feel. See, Joseph's desire was to please God. And it brought about changes in his life because of the choices that he made. Through the wonderful grace of God that carried him the whole time. As a result, God trusted him with a nation. He didn't trust him with something little. A whole nation of people. He became the leader of Egypt. Joseph went from the pit to the palace. Through the grace of God, he went from strength to strength, from glory to glory, and he could only achieve this through the grace of God that was on his life. But remember, sometimes, like I said, that it's not always in our time, but God's time It's perfect because we know, as the Bible tells us, that Joseph endured some hardship. He went through some stuff as a young man. And I believe when he actually reached the promise, when God fulfilled the promise upon his life, he was in his 30s. It took some time. Now that took time for Joseph. Sometimes it's a twinkling of an eye. God can do a work in our lives. But it depends a lot of the time of how we respond to him. We ourselves were saved by the same grace which is also on us. In Ephesians 2, 8, 9, the Bible says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. When you believed. And you can't take credit for that. We cannot take credit for that. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. There is nothing that we can do. There is nothing that we have done that has caused us to deserve the grace of God upon our lives. It is a gift, a special part of him that he has given to us, because he wants us to know him. That is the compassionate, loving, kind side of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, through God. He has shown himself to us through his grace and his love for us. Nothing that we could do for us to gain God's grace upon our lives the way that we have. You are here. I am here. We are here today because of it. We did not come to the Lord by ourselves. We didn't come because we said we feel like coming. We did not choose God. He chose us, church. And sometimes we take for granted that it is a privilege and an honor to be able to be near to our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, to have access to him, to be able to converse and to fellowship with him. It is an honor and a privilege. But we got to know that God will not work without us. He can't work without us. He can't work for you unless you co-labor with him. Co-laboring is not physically doing something. It's just agreeing with God. That's what we ought to do. In order to really to draw the sufficiency of God's grace upon our lives when we face things in our lives, it's just simply agreeing with God. That's what co-laboring is when we agree with God. This allows him to work on our behalf and accomplish change. Because sometimes we think that we can just change. We see things in ourselves. We notice things about ourselves that needs to change in our lives. And we will come to a point at times and we say, you know what, I'm just going to change. I can't do this no more. Things have to change in my life. And we make a decision. But the decisions that we make in our hearts have to be heartfelt, because God knows our hearts. He knows the motive of our heart. It's not just about saying something, which many of us do. We just talk a good talk. But there's no walking. There's no action. There's no depth in what's being said. There's nothing being cultivated in our hearts. But when we co-work with the Lord, when we co-labor with him, there's agreement that takes place. There's a fusing that takes place with the Spirit of God. There's a connection. There's a gelling that takes place with the Spirit of God. And with that together, with our spirit and the Spirit of God moving in our lives, there's a marinating that takes place that causes a shift in our hearts. And it's that shift that brings about change. But sometimes his grace is taken for granted. Church, sometimes we take God's grace for granted. It's missed, used, misinterpreted. I do what I want to do because God knows my heart. But in my mind, I'm saying, I know it's not right, but I'm going to do it anyway. And you know what I do? I repent tomorrow. That's how we can, at times. And I know this. And the reason why I'm saying this, I know this because I was once that person. Because how many know we're selfish? We want things our way. We want it to happen when we want it to happen. We want it to happen right now. We're not prepared to wait. We try to fix things in the way that we want to fix things and how we feel that it's to come about. We don't want to listen to anyone else. And more so, we're not listening to God because we want to have it our way. And I've been in that place many a times. When I've taken God's grace for granted upon my life. But I'm here to tell you today that we are not to take God's gift that he has given us for granted. It is not a gift that we take for granted. Sometimes, I know this because it says here, you delay growth. When we do this, what we do at times, we delay growth or we don't grow at all. When you think you can continue to do what you want, putting your own time on things and doing it on your own terms, we think that we can fool or we can con or we can trick God. We can't do things in our own time. God knows the timing of everything. He says in his word that he who has begun a good work will see it through to completion. He would do it when he's ready, when he thinks that we are ready. Because sometimes we think that we're ready for change. We're ready to receive something or we're not ready to receive it. You see, whatever God wants to give to us, he wants us to have it and to hold on to it. Not to forfeit it, not to give it away, not to squander it. But to value everything that he has given to us. Because what God has given to us, man cannot give us. Grace is not something that we can get from this world. Jesus said, peace I will give you. Not the same peace that the world gives. But a supernatural peace he will give to us that will surpass all understanding. The Bible tells us. We cannot take the grace of God for granted. God has not given us this gift for that purpose. It's God's love for us that have caused him to bestow his grace upon us. It's his will to share every part of him with us. His grace is there to help us and to lead us into making good, sound decisions, no matter how difficult it may be to do. To approach life and people with the right attitude. It is there to help us to bear up in difficult times. When we face difficult times, it is there to undergird us for however long. but long enough to affect change. To stand regardless of what is before us. To endure when your heart hurts and in emotional pain and you don't understand, because there are times when we need to lean upon the grace of God and there are things that are going on in our lives. We don't understand what's going on. We don't know why it's even happening the way it's happening or happening to us. And we're asking all of these questions. Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening at this time? And it's painful at times. It's painful to have our children and to watch our children live their lives, and you know that the lives that they're living is not right. It's painful to have a loved one pass away and you are left with all the pain and the emotional pain that has been left behind because of them passing. Only the grace of God can hold us up and keep us standing. It is not ourselves. The grace of God is not on us so we can do what we want to do, church. The grace of God is on us so we can do what He wants us to do. That's why He has given it to us. So that when we stand up in it, and this is the difference between, because I hear it said many a time, some people, you know, they're living their lives and they're living their lives a certain way. And, you know, you may say something to them and they say, you know what? God judged me. Nobody can't judge me. God's the one that judged me. God loves me. He understands me. He knows me better than anybody. Yes, He does. He sure does. He sure does understand us. And He sure will judge us also. When you hear people say, oh, God will judge me, I'd rather get judged by man than to get judged by God. You see, sometimes we squabble. And we murmur and we complain about little things. And there are bigger matters that are taking place. We got to know that God has not left us without. And sometimes we waste time. We waste weeks. We waste months. We waste years being in the same place. When God has given us gifts and He's given us His grace that will hold us up in hard times. In difficult times, it's there to hold us up. It is there to guide us. It is there to strengthen us and to help us to make good, sound decisions for our lives. 2 Peter 3:18 says, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can't stay the same, church. We don't have time to waste. The Bible tells us it is imperative that we grow. It is imperative that we mature in the things of God. And it isn't just us doing a devotion in the morning or reading the Word of God. Yes, those things are important. They're a part of all the other things, elements that we put together in order to help us to grow, meditating on the Word of God. Practicing living your life and walking this way rather than walking the other way. Walking the way that God wants us to walk. Beginning to do things the way He wants to do. He wants us to do it. The Word of God is a guide for us. We're not left with nothing. We have been given everything we need in life for godly living. And so we have no reason as to why not to move in the direction of maturity. Because if we don't mature, we stay in the same place, and then we wonder a year and 2 years later, why is my situation the same? Why am I in the same place? Why am I doing the same thing? That's not a question that we ask God. It's a question we ask ourselves. A lot of the times we turn our thoughts and we question God, and we ask him things, questions about situations and things and people and stuff. And a lot of the time we need to be questioning ourselves. Why am I still in the same place? Why aren't I growing? Why is everything going past me and things changing, but I'm still the same? This is a question we ask ourselves. Grace also helps us to forgive others. I wanted to share with you a story. And I want to share this with you because this is something that really changed my life completely when I agreed with God. And I remember years ago in my early walk with Christ, I was probably about a few years in, and there was a sister in the church, and I couldn't stand her. Who remembers the message that Pastor Carol preached about having the right spirit? And then, do you remember what she said? Can someone tell me what it is that she said about the spirit? The spirit can't take them. Can't take that spirit. And that was the same thing that I was saying to myself at that time. My spirit can't take her. I was like, I don't like this girl. But you know what? I could not work it out. I couldn't work out. Why don't I like her? What is it? I see her face. You know, it's one of those, forgive me, Lord, it's one of those faces you just wanted to just slap. I see her and I thought, slap your face. And she ain't done nothing to me. But she just irritated me like hell. And every time I saw her at church, it was the same thing. She would come and she would say, hi, how are you? God's got a calling on your life. I say, yeah, whatever. You know, and my heart was just so hard towards her. Anyway, I went back to God and I thought, you know what, this is not right. Because I want to agree with God, right? I want to grow. And I want to mature. And I knew that what I was feeling and how I was responding was not right. So even though, because I believe that, you know, when we say that our spirit can't take something, I know a lot of Caribbean people say that, my spirit can't take them, my spirit can't take them. And and I think for a lot of us, when I was growing up, it wasn't something that, you know, I heard it in the household. I never really took it on board. I didn't even really know what it meant, to be honest. But when you hear the grown-up saying it, you end up saying it. So when I didn't like somebody, I said, well, my spirit don't take them. So anyway, I go back to in my prayer closet, and I'm saying, Lord, what's going on? I don't like this girl. I have to be honest with you. I don't like her, but I don't know what's going on in my heart. I don't know what it is. I couldn't work out what it was about her that I didn't like. But I had to keep, and you know what? Have you ever been in this place, and don't lie, right? When somebody has upset you or offended you and you try to pray for them and it gets stuck. And I was trying to pray for her and it was like, I couldn't even get her name out. It was just stuck. That is how heavy she was on my heart. But the fact that it was stuck and it couldn't come out, I knew something wasn't right. There was a blockage there. And I knew enough that if I did not allow God to work those that it out in me for me to get a breakthrough in that area, that I would not be able to move to the next level, the next phase of my walk with God. And so I went in prayer and I decided to even fast about it. And I didn't fast about it because of her, because remember this, when you have somebody up in your heart, when you have been offended, there's unforgiveness. This is not about them, it's about you. Because they're sleeping in their bed good at night. And we're not hindering them, we're hindering ourselves. So as I'm praying, I decided that I was going to fast. Because I wanted to find out what it is, what was going inside of me, going on inside of my spirit, in my heart. And I fasted 2 days. And I went back to the Lord and I prayed and I said, Lord, what is it? Show me what it is about this person. And when God began to show me, he showed me that this person had done nothing wrong to me. But because they took a position with something and it offended me, remember, they didn't do anything. But what they did offended me. And they wasn't even conscious of it. And I took that on board. And I carried it. Not just weeks, I carried it for months in my heart. And I remember praying. And it was still there, but God showed me it. And I felt bad. I felt really bad in myself because I wanted there to be something about her why I was the way I was. So I had a reason. Because that's what we do sometimes as well. We want to have a reason. We want them to be the cause of us behaving the way we behave. But there was no reason. I was behaving the way that I was behaving because of my own heart, my own issues. And I remember going to a women's conference. And the sermon, what was preached, was on forgiveness. Hello. And as the speaker was preaching, when she came at the end of her sermon, she'd done an altar call. And I came to the altar. And I was broken. I was weeping like a baby. And all I kept on saying was, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That same day after the service, I called that person one side. And I brought them into a room. And I said to them, you may not know this, but I have not liked you for a long time. I've had you up in my heart. And she was like, she couldn't believe it. Because we sometimes can have people up in our heart and we still smile in their face. We still say hello to them. We still shake their hands. We still even give them a hug. But we have them up in our heart. She had no idea that I had her up in her heart, in my heart. And I apologized to her and I said, I'm so sorry that I felt this way. And I explained to her why. And she said, I didn't even know. And she goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, no, you have absolutely nothing to be sorry about. This is all me. All me. And I apologized deeply. And from that day, that feeling went. You know, me and that person is very good friends today. We are very good friends today. And that was because of an issue that I had. But I was able to put that behind me. And I was able to walk forward, continue my journey in growing with the Lord. And so the reason why I've shared that with you is because it doesn't matter how difficult something is to handle. Whether we have unforgiveness up in our heart, whether we're going through some emotional turmoil, there is nothing too difficult for God to handle. But church, what I want to encourage you to do today, I want you to agree with God. Agree with God, because it's when we don't agree with God, it's when we kick against the goal, it's when we wrestle with him that we prolong what it is that God wants to do in our lives. There have been times when God may have wanted to do something in your life 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years ago. But because you have not agreed, because you feel that it's not the time, your time, because you feel that you're not ready to give that up or turn that over, you have missed the boat. You have missed what the Holy Spirit wanted to do in your life in that season. What I want to encourage you to do today is I want to encourage you to agree with God. No matter what you face in your life, the grace of God is able. The grace of God is sufficient. That means there's no limit to God's grace upon your life. There is no limit as to what it is that he can do. His grace undergirds us. He can carry any weight. There is no weight that is too heavy for God. All he is saying to us, church, is to trust him just a little bit more. Just go that little extra mile, because we don't have to take big steps. It's just that little baby steps that we take that brings us closer to the promises of God that he has upon our lives. Just that baby step. He doesn't ask a lot from us because he knows how delicate we are. And his grace is so subtle in the way it moves. When we're sitting there, because there's been times when I've sat in my house and I've been going through some stuff and I can't speak, I can't pray, I can't talk to God, I can't even talk to people because the pain is so hot. It hurts so much till it cripples you. Have you ever been in that place when you are going through something so hard and so intense that you feel crippled? You can't move. You don't even want to go to church, but somehow you find your way to the bathroom and you put your clothes on and then you come to church. That is not us. That's the grace of God that helped us to go to the bathroom, that helped us to put our clothes on, that helped us to get here. It's the grace of God that pushes us and unctions us and directs us in the way that we should be going. But you see, when we wrestle against God, those things won't happen. There are people that are not here today for various reasons, but then there are some people that come to church and don't go back to church, and they wrestle with God. And that's the reason why they're not here. Because they've wrestled, they've not agreed, and what's happened, they're delayed what God wants to do in their lives. God has to co-work with us. He cannot work on his own. We have to co-labor with him. We have to come in agreement with the grace of God in our lives. The grace is very silent. It doesn't speak. It just moves. It's that subtle. It doesn't speak. It just moves. And as I said, there have been times when I've been in my home and I've been crippled by pain, emotional pain. And it is the grace of God that has carried me from season to season to season. And it is the grace of God that will continue to take you from season to season to season. The grace of God is there to serve us, but we have to agree with him. If you want to stand, Shannon, if you want to make your way. When Paul was dealing with the thorn in his flesh, The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that Paul begged God three times to remove the thorn from his flesh. Can you imagine how Paul was feeling? For him to go to God once, twice, and a third time, it was too much for him to bear. Too much for him to bear. And so he asked God to remove that thorn in his flesh. The Bible also says that Paul said, God answered to him and said, my grace is all you need. Some versions will say, my grace is sufficient. We hear it all the time. But broken down, my grace is all you need. Paul goes on to say in verse 9, my power works best in weakness. God's power. See, when we agree with God and we're going through our changes, when we're transitioning, we've agreed with God, and we just let things go. We just let it go. His power works best then. His power works best in weakness. So now I am glad, Paul says, to boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong, Paul says. Hardship, he said. Persecution. There are people that will talk about you. They will say things that are not true. They will try to tear you down with their tongue. But if you agree with God in that hurt that has been inflicted on you, his grace, he will pour out his grace upon your life. Pour it out, because there is plenty of it. Whatever your struggles may be, and we have struggles, and the reason why I'm speaking to you today like this, church, because it is time that we make that transition. It's time that there is a change that takes place. God has things for you and I to do. There are people that are dying out there. There are people that need to hear the gospel. There are people in our family that needs to know the truth. Because the Bible says that if we know the truth, it's the truth that will set us free. The truth is in us. And as we speak in church, it will begin to release the captives. It will begin to break shackles. It will begin to bring hope to the hopeless. But only if we agree. I want you to lift up your hands. Remember what I said to you earlier about when we lift our hands. When we don't lift our hands, that's pride. You're not lifting them for me. you're lifting them for God. And when we lift up our hands high, wide, something begins to happen here. Something begins to open. And you may feel like, you know what, nothing ain't happening. You leave this place today and your situation or whatever is taking place is still the same. But my friend, let me to tell you today that it's not the same. Something is happening because you have just agreed with God. It is time that we turn away from the things that we believe that is going to give us what we need, because it's not going to give us what we need. What God has for us is eternal, eternal life. What the world has to give to us is temporary. It may feel good now. It may taste good now, but I tell you, it's not going to last. It will not last, because nothing that isn't of God is going to last, can last, only but God, only but the things of God. What I want to do right now, I want you to take one more step of faith. I want you to come to the altar. Right now, come to the altar. Don't resist Him. Everybody, to this altar. Don't resist God. Don't resist Him. Begin to agree right now. Begin to speak to Him right now, right now, right where you are. Whatever God is speaking to you about, agree with Him. Because He has a plan to prosper each and every one of you. Each and every one of us. He has a plan to prosper us, church. Not to harm us. Come on, begin to raise your voice in this place. Lift up that music, Shannon. Lift up your voices in this place. Come on, begin to agree with God. There are things, otherwise you will not be here from week to week, because there is something taking place in your life while you keep coming. If we had it all together, we would not be here. But we need the grace of God. We need His power. We need His strength. And there is plenty of it, church. Plenty of it. And you keep on hearing the voice of God tell you to step out, because He's calling you out. I don't know who it is, but there is somebody here that God has been speaking, and he's been repeating himself, and you have been ignoring his voice. He wants you to know today, whoever you are, don't be afraid. Be encouraged. Do not be afraid.